Well, Grandview Mayor Stephen Dennis suddenly resigned last month. Everyone wanted to know why. Rumors of impropriety swirled around a charity that Dennis founded 2 years ago, supposedly to help the elderly and the poor residents of Grandview. Now Dennis has confessed to taking $34,000 of money given to the charity and putting it back in his own bank account. Here to fill us in on the details is a reporter Ryan Kath from KSHB Channel 41, who's been working on this story for weeks. Ryan, so good to have you.
Thanks for having me, Stevie.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Tell me about this fake charity. How did he set it up? What was that all about, Ryan?
Well, I remember getting word that he was suddenly resigning. That happened on January 10th. And, you know, just looking into some of the details, when someone resigns
suddenly,
less than a year after they were reelected in a landslide, you know something's up, and it's not good. You don't know if it's a health situation or if there's something more sinister going on. So we just started looking into some of his involvement with other entities just to see what was going on there. And one of the things that popped up was this nonprofit called Matters of the Heart. And so I hopped over to the Missouri Secretary of State's website just to see what kind of documents were available for this nonprofit, and you could immediately see that it had been administratively dissolved a year after it had been formed. So that seemed kind of strange. This was supposed to be a nonprofit that helped the poor and the elderly in Grandview, at least according to the documents. Then you could also see that a couple of letters had been filed with the Secretary of State from two of his fellow aldermen saying they were placed on these documents without their knowledge as board of directors.
Ah.
That seems, of course, very suspicious.
And they weren't boards of directors.
They had no knowledge of being of having any involvement with this nonprofit whatsoever. They say they were never asked about it by him. They just suddenly discovered that their names were placed.
So you're putting two to two together here, as any good reporter would. You're seeing the resignation suddenly of a mayor a year after his reelection, combined with some strange happenings with the documents in Jefferson City.
Right. So I called the alderman that night, and I had received just a couple tips. You know, you get a lot of tips. Some of them are crazy. Some of them are spot on. But we had had some tips that there was some FBI interest in this nonprofit. So when I talked to the alderman, I just decided to throw it out there, have the FBI interviewed you about the situation. And, of course, their response was, well, as a matter of fact, yes. And so that's where we knew we had a good story.
And where did you go with it from there then?
That night we broke the story that there was FBI interest in this nonprofit, and that could perhaps explain why the sudden resignation occurred, and we just continued to dig from there. One of the things we looked at, I know you've looked at a lot of these over the years, was the campaign finance file.
Absolutely.
Went over to Jackson County and requested the file, and there, plain as day, left behind as a nice little nugget for any reporter who wanted to look, was the business card of an FBI agent who had also requested that file a few months ago. So that's when we knew, okay, they've really been looking into this guy.
This is almost too easy for you, buddy.
Don't tell my boss that.
Yeah, but it just fell into place, it sounds like.
It fell into place. So, you know, we looked at the campaign finance documents, and there were some suspicious expenses there after the election at, like, the Apple Store and other places like that. And you're saying, well, why would you use campaign finance money after the election's already taken place at places like that? And then finally, we also looked at some of his credit card expenses. And that's where things really took a bizarre turn. Looking at the expense reports, you could see that he made a series of purchases on Christmas Eve 1 year at retail stores like Walmart, Target, Gordman's, and there were no receipts provided.
We're visiting with Channel 41's Ryan Kath about the case of former Grandview Mayor Stephen Dennis. Were these purchases made a year ago at Christmas or just recently, this last Christmas?
This was Christmas Eve 2012, and you could just tell from looking at those that there just wasn't a lot of oversight. There was no one taking another look at these expenses. There was no one demanding that receipts were provided, because as you got closer and closer to the time that he resigned, there were entire months of expense reports turned in where there wasn't a single receipt provided. So no one was going back to him and saying, hey, you know, we need to have a receipt to see what you're spending taxpayer money on. And the weirdest thing that happened was, you know, you could see that he was going out to lunch meetings with other local politicians. One of the people who popped up on there several times was Kansas City Council Member John Sharp. And I know John Sharp just from covering other stories, so I decided to give him a call just to see if he knows Steve Dennis well and he might have a little insight as to what was going on, what was behind this resignation. So I called John Sharp and said, hey, how well do you know Steve Dennis? And his response was, well, I've, you know, bumped into him once or twice at a couple of functions. And I said, well, according to his expense reports, you guys have been out to lunch several times. And he's, you know, he's charged it to his city credit card. And when I said that, there were kind of just crickets chirping on the other line. Man. He said, what do you mean? You know, I can't remember ever going out to lunch with him. And then I started calling some of the other people that were listed on there. Kansas City Councilman Jan Markison told me she never had a meal with him. Jackson County Executive Mike Sanders told me the same thing. So that's when we knew there was a pattern and things were getting really strange.
Well, what did then Mayor Steve Dennis tell you about what accounted for these expenses?
Nothing. Since his resignation, he had gone completely off the grid. Next door neighbors were telling me they hadn't even seen him at the house, nor his family. They were obviously staying somewhere else in the area just to avoid some of the media scrutiny and, of course, you know, the onslaught of questions that were coming his way. So he made no comment whatsoever. You could tell he was being instructed to keep a muzzle on it by his attorney. And the very first time we heard anything from him since that resignation was yesterday at the federal courthouse.
I was just going to say, you did speak to him yesterday. You had it in your report last night, the two of you walking along the sidewalk there leading up to the federal courthouse downtown where he made his plea. And I'm just wondering, what did he say to you? What was his demeanor? And what was it like for you finally having a chance to speak to former Mayor Steve Dennis?
Well, the night before we knew he was going to plea, I exchanged some text messages with him and said, you know, everyone's waiting to hear something from you. Are you going to be making any type of statement after this court appearance tomorrow? And he indicated that he would. And so we said, okay, great. Finally, we're going to get some type of explanation, especially people in Grandview who have been in the dark for a month.
Yeah.
Well, after his plea appearance, his attorney passed out papers to all the reporters that had gathered there and said, because of the sensitive nature of the legal issues involved, he was not going to be making any comments. So that was, you know, disappointing for everyone to hear. But, you know, being a group of reporters, we just kind of camped out outside the courthouse, knowing at some point he was going to have to leave and we were still going to have to try to get some response out of him.
So, that's cold work. I've been there before and I know how tough that can be.
And it was literally cold work yesterday since it was only about 10 degrees outside.
Yeah. But so what did he say when you finally you walked with him and spotted him?
Well, it was a matter at first, you know, approaching him. He was just doing the, you know, I'm sorry, I can't say anything. I can't say anything. And so we just tried to get to the heart of a few of the issues. One of the things I asked him that he did respond to was there any taxpayer money misused? And he said unequivocally no.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to keep in the vault to see how the story continues to play out and see if that truly ends up to be a part of the case. And then just tried to ask him to respond to all of his supporters in Grandview. He was an incredibly popular, energetic mayor, extremely involved at City Hall, and this shocked a lot of people. So we wanted to know what he said to some of those
folks.
That
was my next question. You described him in your report as popular. Why was he popular, and why was he reelected so easily?
He was incredibly positive, and he was very involved, and he truly wanted it, you know, it appeared, and by all accounts, he wanted Grandview to be on the rise. He was very much in favor of bringing in new development, and he was a constant cheerleader for the city. And so I think that's why he was so popular. And just talking to folks at City Hall, he was there around the clock. And this is supposed to be a part-time gig that pays $16,000. And so that right there might explain some of the things we're getting to the bottom to right now.
So what does this mean for Grandview? Again, a town trying to, you know, in the shadow of Kansas City, Missouri, trying to get on a horse and ride a little bit here and have its time in the sun. What does a setback like this do to a town like that, Ryan?
That's a great question because, you know, Grandview's probably had more news coverage in the past month than they had the previous 3 years. I mean, they're just not used to being in the media spotlight like that, especially under negative connotations. So it's been shocking to a lot of people there. You know, speaking to some of the aldermen and the newly appointed mayor, Leonard Jones, they're just hoping they can put this in the rear view and continue some of that momentum because they do have some big decisions coming up on the horizon with some very large development projects moving in there.
This notion, getting to the question you asked the former mayor yesterday, was any taxpayer money involved here? Is that door now closed in your mind, or is that still an area of investigation that you want to pursue to ensure that that indeed was the case?
I think that door is still open, and I think there are some folks, involved with the city elected officials who want to know the answer to that. So I don't think they're going to let that issue rest. They want to know if they should be asking for reimbursement down the line, and the door's still open. He still needs to be sentenced. We don't know the exact date that's going to occur yet.
Yeah.
It's been recommended that he spend a year and a day in prison, but as you know, up until the judge makes that decision, there are other factors that could come into play here.
Well, Ryan Kath is a reporter for KSHB Channel 41. Thanks for your time and good work on this story, man. Nice to have you.
I appreciate it, Steve.
You bet. Again, that's Ryan Kath from Channel 41 News.